To me, the biggest impact of the declaration is that now the government will be able to intervene unhampered by its own red tape. If you look at the trajectory of this outbreak, what's really been characteristic of it has been a lot of stammering, trying to get around constraints, bureaucracy, and just not being able to deliver what's actually needed on the ground. And I think this hopefully will be something that is in the past with the emergency declaration, that we know that these declarations allow a lot of the red tape to be cut and really focus on becoming operational, the government becoming more operational than it has been. And I think that's why this was needed. And I think it's unfortunate that we have to do this when there is a public health issue, that it's only when an emergency is declared can the government actually be responsive to the needs.
Do you expect vaccines to start flowing much more plentifully, shall we say, as a result of the emergency declaration?
I do think that the declaration will force innovation in the vaccine space, meaning that now you may see dose-sparing strategies, as we've heard about already. You may see more willingness to use the first-generation smallpox vaccine, ACAM2000, in select populations. And I think you'll see just much more of a push to get vaccine into the arms of high-risk individuals. And I think, you know, it's notable that the monkeypox coordinator at the White House is a FEMA official, which really signifies the need to be much more operational with this outbreak in order to bring it under control.
I'm sure you saw the New York Times report recently revealing that the administration spent something like $1 billion. So we certainly had access to a lot of vaccine, but we didn't put our bid in to the Danish company to get some of it. And as a result, we have far less. That is just one example of some of the stammering that perhaps you were talking about a bit earlier.
Exactly. That there just has not been the level of proactivity that we need when it comes to an infectious disease emergency. And it's very disconcerting because this is happening after COVID-19 and you're seeing some of the same mistakes being made again. And thankfully, monkeypox is not as contagious, not as dangerous as COVID-19 was. But the fact that the government's still making these mistakes tells us that there really is a need for a wholesale evaluation of how the government responds to infectious disease emergencies. And I think that's the biggest lesson of the last couple of years, that this is an inadequate system and it needs to be really reconfigured if it's going to be able to meet the needs of the people.
This question is in the spirit of accuracy, but it is also out of respect to all the diverse communities we have here in the Washington area and in the whole country. Is it accurate to say monkeypox is mostly affecting men who have sex with men?
It is accurate. If you look at the number of cases, the epidemiology, 99% or so of the cases are occurring in that population. So it is something that's unique to this monkeypox outbreak. It really should be something that galvanizes people to get that population covered with vaccines, with antivirals, with testing. This is a population that can often be neglected, and infectious diseases can occur with higher proportions in that population. We've seen it with other infections, and I think this is something that really should be a reminder that certain populations can get affected more or less with an infectious disease. And when it's more, you actually have to not say, okay, this is just some population, it's not the general population. You actually have to take action to control it in that population, because it is a major issue. This is the human species versus a virus here.
If you're outside of that population that we were just discussing, how should you be approaching this virus right now?
The threat to individuals who are not men who have sex with men is low at this time, unless you're a household member of somebody that has monkeypox. We will see some cases that occur outside of that population because of contacts with individuals who have monkeypox. I don't think that we'll see sustained spread outside of men who have sex with men. So this isn't something to panic about, but it is something to be cognizant of, that this is a virus that's now spreading in one population. It is going to have repercussions on other populations, even if it doesn't have sustained spread in those populations, meaning there are going to be cases. And I think people have to be cognizant of that fact, especially when they have close contact with individuals who might have been exposed to monkeypox.
Doctor, I think another valuable thing we can do here is dispel myths and only, of course, convey accurate information. What have you been able to learn about whether the virus can be spread in other ways beyond skin-to-skin contact? Can it be spread through face-to-face interactions or even touching a contaminated surface?
Theoretically, you can see monkeypox spread in that manner. However, it's important to separate from what can happen in a textbook versus, you know, where you're listing all the different ways monkeypox can spread versus what's driving transmission. What's driving transmission in the United States and in Europe is skin-to-skin contact. That's how people are getting infected. Yes, there is a risk of people getting it through objects that or articles of clothing or linens, but that's not the main way that we're seeing this transmission occur. So I think it's important to separate, and I think the press is very interested in all the ways that you can get monkeypox. It's important to, in addition to listing all those, to say, well, those are not major mechanisms of transmission, just like we saw with COVID-19, where you had people worrying about getting the infection from their mail, for example, when we know that that wasn't a major route of transmission, if at all. So I think that there are concerns when it comes to bedding, for example, and linens in a hospital setting. But I think in everyday life, outside of individuals who have monkeypox, these types of situations are not going to be major sources of transmission. Remember, this is not a virus that is contagious until you have symptoms. So it's not something where you're going to encounter it in everyday life.
What would be a final thought, perhaps something I neglected to ask that you think is very important?
It's very tempting to look at everything through the lens of COVID-19. And I think we shouldn't do that. We have to think about each infectious disease emergency uniquely because there's different biological characteristics. And yes, this monkeypox outbreak is much bigger than it needs to be or that it should have been. That yes, there's been major mistakes. Yes, this is something serious that needs to be taken care of, but it's not on the scale or level of COVID-19. That respiratory viruses are a thing unto their own, and monkeypox is not a respiratory virus. So I think this is something that we have to take decisive action to stop, but it is not something that has the disruptive effect of something like COVID-19.